Manchester City ahead. And Kelly to line this one up. Oh! She has hit an absolute beauty in true Chloe Kelly style.
Gordon Shaw in the penalty area awaiting. And sends it in. Ward sees it home.
Welcome back to MCW Fancast. I'm Emma. Thanks for listening. Plenty to discuss on this week's podcast, and I'm joined by Dave and Paul. Together, we'll delve into our impressive 2-0 win against Leicester City at the Joy Stadium. Plus, we'll be looking ahead to Sunday's trip to Arsenal at Meadow Park in the FA Cup. We also find out a little bit more about our latest signings in the January window and discuss all the latest news from the club. Let's get straight into it. Hi Dave, hi Paul, how are you both doing?
Fine, thank you, hope you're well.
Yeah, not too bad, not a bit tired, you know, as it goes, but fine. Thank you both for joining me. It's a bit of an awkward one this week because obviously we've got Tottenham midweek, but we can't really preview it because the podcast isn't going to get out in time. Obviously tomorrow night we're heading into that game off of the back of a win at the weekend at Leicester, so let's talk about that first, Dave. What did you make of the game, firstly? It was a great result in the end at home.
It was, yeah. We previewed it last week, Emma, and we said that previous games against Leicester this season had been tough. They were a dogged opponent to break down. That's exactly what proved to happen on Sunday, wasn't it? It was a long time coming. You know, Leicester had a game plan and they stuck to it. You could see them physically tiring towards the end, and I think brilliant substitution by Gareth to get Jess Park on the pitch in the position that he put her in. And it just opened up those chances to be created for us to take. Having said that, both amazing goals in their own right as well. Let's not take anything away from that. I've watched Lauren's a number of times. I'm still not quite sure how she does it. Well, it's a fantastic take. But it was really crucial with the other results as well that we won that game. I know everyone's looking to these big games we've got coming up in London in all the competitions and everything, but you've got to win your home games to stay in contention, especially games that you expect to win like that. So it was a massive win for us on the day. And I was really impressed with the team, the way they kept going and the way they just stuck to the plans and didn't panic and eventually got the job done. I was over the moon.
Were you watching that game in the stadium, Paul, and you're almost thinking, City don't do ball draws. Surely the goal's got to come some way. And it did, and it was a moment of brilliance. I think in the build-up play, Jess Park was absolutely outstanding. Delivery from Bunny, but the finish from Hemp, absolutely out of this world.
I said to somebody on the day, you know, this, she was probably the only player on the field that had the vision and the guts really to go for it. You know, she's that good a player. You know, we see all her technical stuff. We, you know, see the things she's great at, which is running with the ball, crossing, giving defenders nightmare. But when you look at the goals she scores, there are very few tap-ins with Lauren. They're always top quality finishes, and that was probably the best finish I've seen in that stadium. The more you see it at every angle, you think, how on earth, in that split second as that ball's coming across, do you think, right, I'm just going to essentially do a scorpion kick and knock it into the bottom corner? That is instinctive from a world-class player, a player that we've seen develop from a young woman that came up from East Anglia, joined us. We've seen her develop, and now this is what we're seeing, a world player executing something that would have gone unnoticed across Europe. The big clubs will have noticed that again and thought, if she's going to move, we want to get her. But in the meantime, we should just enjoy watching a world-class player going about her business. She was outstanding in the game, but that goal, if that's... I would be very... she'll be robbed.
I just think it was an all-round... You know, it was a really funny game because you almost felt like we did have some really good moments in the game, but Leicester were a totally different team to that we played last time. And I thought they were playing with a little bit more intent. They were battling really hard, you know, trying to gain possession, try and win the ball. And at times were a little bit feisty, I'm going to say it, in terms of the, you know, the tackles and the, you know, there was a few questionable moments within the game. And I think there was quite a few yellow cards as well, to be fair. So yeah, they were really in the game, and you know, it's one of those you think if it falls to Leicester and they get that opportunity, essentially, you know, we're 1-0 behind, and it's going to be tough for us to find a way in, because they're just going to put everyone behind that ball then, and that's it for us. It's just going to be a hard way to find through. But I thought they were quite compact, Leicester, and they were really hard to break down. And I don't think the creativity was lacking for City. I just think Leicester were well matched in terms of how they played their game against us.
I mean, it's fair. Yeah. I think it's fair to say they flooded the midfield. You know, that 4-5 formation was very effective. You know, looking at the stats, we had 65% possession in the game, 9 shots on target. They had no shots on target. And I think it dawned on Gareth eventually that they could be still playing tonight and they wouldn't have scored. They just didn't have anything up front. Every time they got in the final third, they just ran out of ideas. They had no penetration, and our defence was, you know, which is, you know, probably the stingiest defence in the league now. We're quite capable of closing any threat down. So when he threw Jess on, he was clearly thinking, they're not going to score, but we need to score. And it was a really clever substitution, as Dave says. I just want to say, just to be clear, we're often critical of the referees on this podcast, but I thought the referee had a pretty good game at the weekend. She got her cards out very early in the game. I mean, she thinks she booked someone in the 10th minute for quite a nasty foul. And they were at it all game, and it's obviously part of their game plan, the physicality. But the referee, I thought, clamped down on the really extreme stuff very early. We don't often see a card that early in the game. And there was 2 cards within the first 20 minutes, which is like a miracle in WSL, because the refereeing can be, and we saw that in the Chelsea game, you know, a variable to say the least. But I thought the ref had a good game, and she clamped down on a lot of the physicality. And it became, as you say, a more of a niggly game rather than a sort of nasty game. But the one thing I want to say as well is that our team stuck to their plan. They had a plan. We've got a plan. We don't panic now. We just keep doing what we're doing. And eventually you grind them down. And as Dave said, by the end, they were dead on their feet. And we had enough still in the tank to, you know, score a great goal and then a worldy sort of flukish goal from Kelly, which I thought was, you know, was the icing on the cake. But, you know, good for the referee for clamping down, and good for our lot for not panicking and just sticking to the plan. And it paid off.
It's not a fluke, Paul. She's done that enough times. she's got that in the locker, and it's unbelievable when it comes out. So yeah, I think overall, like you say, it was a good result in the end. And you know, we had to work hard for it. And every so often, these games come along. Does it not make the result even more pleasing, Dave?
Without a doubt. I mean, we saw the game against Brighton. We talked about it, where we had a lot of chances. You know, where we should have been well clear in that game. And they did break away, as you were fearing on Sunday. I mean, you were saying before that they could do it. And Brighton did break away and get a goal out of nothing and win the game. So we've seen it happen. It was good to see them stick at it. I just felt that the midfield was a little bit, needed to be speed up in the second half a little bit. And that was what Leicester was starting to struggle with. And that's why I think the substitution worked so well. I, in my head, was thinking maybe it's time to throw Mary Fowler on and get her involved in the game. Because I always think of Jess more as a wide player. But Gareth obviously thought, you know, he could take Philip off, put Jess in that midfield role a little bit deeper maybe than we've seen her before, or certainly starting from a little bit of a deeper position. And it really caused Leicester problems for that. She changed the game. There's no two ways about it. She changed the game. She created the chances that eventually we scored from. And, you know, it was absolutely critical game that we won. Especially when you look at the other results that went on at weekend as well, with Arsenal losing and Chelsea winning again. We want, you know, it keeps us in with a shout of that, going to Chelsea, getting something and going top of the league, which is what we want. But you couldn't criticise the performance, even at 0-0, we were a better side. And I did feel, you know, that Leicester were hanging on, but just that little change that Gareth saw, identified, changed it. You know, it's great to see, and great credit to him as a manager to do that, to see that change and win us the game.
Yeah, a lot of credit to Gareth as well. I think tactically, managerially, that was a well-managed game for him. And I think the result not only reflects well on the players, but definitely on Gareth as well, because I think, you know, there were times last season where we left it too late, but, you know, I think Jess's substitution almost came around 60-minute mark, so it allowed her enough time to get into the game as well and make an impact. And from the off, she just played with tenacity. You know, she took it by the bit and she really delivered in terms of her gameplay as well, Paul.
Yeah, and you're right. It was she put the fear of God up them. I mean, in fairness, our wingers, you know, do that, but her dropping deep, and I don't think they quite knew what to do with her. But every time she drove at them, they just sort of panicked. You could see them thinking, what where's she going with this? But it was the tenacity. But I think she's one of the most exciting young players in the game at the moment. You know, my fear is that we won't keep her because she'll want more game time. But if we keep her, and let's say Lauren does decide to move on, she's an ideal replacement in that role. And I think Gow's got her on the training field this season because she had a great loan spell at Everton. You know, and she's come back. And I think he's got on the park and thought, there's more to her game than just, you know, playing out wide. We can play her in different roles. And Dave rightly identified when Mary Fowler came on, she makes a difference as well because she's a very clever little player. So bringing those two players on and playing them in slightly different roles, Leicester's game plan, you can see them thinking, well, hang on, we haven't planned for these two. Where have these two come from? But I thought Jess was outstanding. I thought the way she held the ball up, the way she moved with the ball, the way she was driving into the space, her passing was strong. Just a really great all-round performance. And again, underlines the view that she, you know, she's been in the England team. She's had a goal, you know, and I think she's due a recall because I think she's playing at that level now. She just needs a bit more game time, I think. And that's always tricky when, let's be honest, I think Gareth's got a very settled first 11 now. You know, we tend to see the same team week in, week out now. And that's the mark of a very settled squad. We know that team can perform. They know their roles. They know what they need to do. But I think what's really exciting is we've got a great bench now. You look at that bench now, you know, I mean, Ruby Mace is another one that would walk into most WSL sides, and she's not getting much game time either. Mary Fowler would walk into most WSL sides, you know, as a starter. She's not getting much. So when you're bringing those impact players on, they're having an impact because they're good. You're not just bringing somebody on because you think, oh, we'll do a like for like. We're actually bringing someone that we think can change the game. And Jess did that brilliantly. She, you know, she's really exciting young talent, I think.
Yeah. And you mentioned three players there, but you can also throw, obviously, a new signing, Laurie. And it was great to see her make a debut as well, having only just signed for the club. That was a massive surprise, which I really enjoyed seeing as well, because usually, you know, we sign players and then we just allow them a little bit of time to settle into the club. But straight away, he's like, no, let's give you some minutes. I mean, I love that, Dave. I don't know about you.
Yeah, it's good. I think of the three, I mean, obviously we'll talk about the new signings as well at more length maybe, but I think of the three players we signed last week, Laura was the one that was probably the most experienced, certainly in the WSL, and the one that was, you know, more or less ready to come straight into the side in Gareth's mind. So to put her on the bench, he probably thought what he would like to do is City to be ahead, and then she can come on and get her debut out of the way and get a feel for the club and a feel for the, you know, her home ground and stuff like that, which is eventually what he was able to do, which, you know, by all accounts, if you read the reports on her and the performance she's put in for Aston Villa, a very, very good young player. I believe she's been their young player of the year for the last two seasons as well, so it's a fantastic signing. She's already talked about her ambitions with the club and to get into the England team, and you know, that's all the right noises coming from her and from the club. It's great. It's a great signing for us, I'm sure it is. I'm looking forward to watching more of her.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, to be honest with you, I'm not entirely convinced you knew where the dressing room was, let alone, you know, and, you know, probably just picked a kit up on the day before and, you know, working out whether the kit actually fitted. And, you know, she's got all of these things going on and suddenly she's there on the touchline. Coming on in a WSL. I mean, it's worth remembering, though, she has played 41 times for Villa, which when you think of, you know, we don't have the same amount of games as in the men's game, you know, 41 appearances for that younger age, pretty experienced. You know, that's not a bad number of appearances in a pretty good Villa side, in fairness. You know, Villa are not a bad side. So I think she was, as Dave says, she was, you know, she's got the experience, and I think he was confident that she could play in the WSL at that level. The other two, I think, you know, are much more of an unknown prospect. But I think Laura's a really exciting prospect, and she looked to the manner born. She looked like she was quite comfortable. She didn't seem fazed by it. And I think, you know, as Dave says, she has been their young player of the year at Villa. She's got 41 appearances under her belt, and I think she's a very exciting prospect.
And like you said, you spoke about the youth there as well. I mean, Laura's, I think she's 20. Ruby is 20 as well, isn't she? And Mary, oh, yeah. I think they're 20, yeah. A little bit older. So, you know, in terms of the future prospects for this club, building a team around, you know, our youth and our younger prospects and their development as well, you know, not only are we building a team now, we're building a team for the future as well. And I think we've got a really good balance as well of that experience and that youth coming through. And that's always really pleasing as well from a club perspective.
That's how we work. If you, this team now, we spoke last week about, we felt this team has grown together over the last 2 years. So I think that, you know, that seems to work for us as a club and for us as a team, that they, you know, they know each other inside out and stuff. And if you sign young players that play together for a long time and get to know these systems really well throughout the club, they grow together, the team improve together, and then, you know, obviously you reap the benefits of that. And I think that's what we're going for here. Gareth obviously felt with the injury to Jill, we needed some numbers in. Now, maybe these transfers were planned anyway before the injury to Jill, but he obviously thought he needed some numbers in the door. I would say that Laura is the one that's most likely to feature more this season. That's not to say the other two won't feature at all. They could well do. We're going to need the whole squad. But I think he has got one eye on the future, Emma. I think without a doubt, these are young players to build a squad around with the ones we've got. Which, if you remember when Bills Nilsson came in last year, that's exactly what he said. He said his priority was to keep the quality players that we've got at the club at the club, and then add pieces to the jigsaw as and when it was needed. And I think that this is the first sign of that happening. Possibly Jill was the first sign of it happening with a big signing last summer. It's very hard to sign top international class players in this window, in the January window. But it's not a bad idea if you can plan for the future and get some younger players in from the lower leagues and stuff, which is what we've done. And younger player, you know, we activated a buyout clause, I believe, at Villa with Laura. So, you know, it's great to see great young players want to come and play for the club. And it can only be a good thing long term for us, I think, to build around them with, as Paul says, young players we've already got here, like Ruby Mace and Mary Fowler. Great young players. Kiara in goal. I mean, she's leading the race for the Golden Glove. She's the youngest keeper in the league. It's fantastic. It's a great testament to her and to the defence as a whole that the clean sheets were keeping as well.
I mean, let's talk about our other two signings as well. Tara O'Hanlon signed her first professional contract for Man City from Piedmont United. Irish international, joins us on a 3.5-year deal. 18 years old. She came in as our second January signing, born in Dublin. Very versatile 18-year-old defender. Exciting prospect. Really good talent that we're bringing into the club, which I think is really exciting as well, because if you think of like the young players that we've brought in, you know, I mean, Lauren Hemp was quite young when she joined us. I mean, she was an established player, but given the time that she's been at the club, she's come on leaps and bounds. I mean, she was exceptional when she joined us. She's absolutely top of the game now. So, you know, in terms of players and their development, having the opportunity to do that at a club like Man City is quite an exciting prospect for not just the club, but for that player too and their development.
I was listening to a podcast with some Irish fans of the women's game in Ireland, and they were raving about Tara. They said she's the best young prospect they've had for a long, long time. It's worth remembering she's got two Ireland caps already. I mean, she made a debut against the USA at 18. So she's highly rated in the Republic, and she's just won their version of the WSL over there. I was also reading an interview by one of her teammates who described her as brave in the tackle, big in the tackle, lots of pace, lots of skill, can play right across the back, willing to learn, and most importantly, popular in the dressing room. And it's also worth noting that Tara also, although it was essentially a free transfer because she wasn't on a professional contract because Piedmont are not a professional setup, she asked that City make a donation to the club she's just left. And I think that's that shows a maturity and an understanding of where you're coming from, and making the big step up to WSL. That strikes me as someone that's got the right values as well as the right skill set as a player. Because at the end of the day, the one thing I think we've all noted, over particularly this season, is the unity in the team. This is a team that gets on. This is a team that actually like each other personally as well as professionally. And I think Tara is going to be a great signing. She's got all the attributes to be a world-class defender, and she can only benefit from working with Steph and Alex and our coaching staff. I think she'll be well established in the team next season.
And then the first signing came through Poppy Pritchard, a 3.5-year deal, joins us from Durham. We met her a little bit earlier in the season. She came on second half against us, didn't she? But yeah, she's 18 years old and she'll wear the number 17 shirt. And again, a versatile forward with an eye for goal. And she's a player that's had a lot of praise said about her as well, which is always really pleasing. I think all three players in their own right have had quite a lot of good praise.
They have, yeah. Poppy, I believe she'd been injured and she came back against us in the cup, didn't she? And came on as a sub. Highly rated in the Championship. Scored a lot of goals for Durham. I believe Chelsea had sniffed round as well, looking at her last summer. And, you know, she'd been on Chelsea's radar. So City have done well to nip in and sign her up. Now, I think we needed another striker in the club, if I'm honest. You can call her an understudy, can't we? It's not demeaning to say at her age. She's coming to learn a trade and she'll be learning from the best. You know, you've got people like Bunny Shaw in training every day. You've got Sean Goater training the strikers now as well. For me, you know, they're two of the best that she could possibly learn off and soak it all up. And I'm sure her time will come when she'll get a chance in the team. It might be this season. It might be next season. But highly rated young player, like I say, who was on the radar of big clubs. So it's a bit of a steal for us. We've done the right thing to get in there and sign all three of these players. Like you say, Tara as well. Young, already a full international. Described as a modern fullback. We all know what that means, don't we? Modern fullback. This fullback role is the one that's changed the most. It's so important now that they can attack as well as defend. So I would imagine we'll see her raiding down the wings and things like that. So I'm looking forward to watching them all play. It's going to be exciting to see them develop and develop together, like we've said, with the players we've already got.
Yeah, and that's the sort of running theme throughout every sort of all the press releases and all the reports that have come out, is that they're, you know, emerging talent that want to develop at Man City. And there is really no better. I know it's going to sound biased, of course, but there really is, Paul, no better club to do that at.
You're allowed to be biased.
Yeah. If you're the parents of a young player, and the player says, "Look, let's go and have a look at, you know, what's going on in the WSL. Let's go and see what our options are." You can go over to Lee Sports Village, and you can go to change in a porta cabin, and our facilities are essentially non-league facilities, or you can come to Manchester City, where you've got everything you need as a professional footballer to make it. Great coaching, great facilities, dietitians, weight rooms, a settled squad. You know, you're looked after, you know, not just on the pitch, but off the pitch. If you're the parents and a young player, that's where you want your young player to be. You want them to have the best facilities and the best chance of making it. It's not just about that, of course, because there's other factors in play, but If that's where we have an advantage, because as a young player, you think, I want that big weight room. I want to be able to come into work and know that I'll get the support that I need to develop. You know, in terms of Poppy, for instance, Dave makes a really good point about Sean Goater. You know, you want to work with someone like that, someone who's been there, done it, someone that's making Bunny Shaw a better player. Tara's come over. I think Tara had been at United, and then she'd had a look at United, and she got injured while she was there. So she's obviously looked at that and thought, "Oh, hang on, I don't fancy the porta cabin route. I think I'd rather go down the sort of state of the art facility route, and also be able to work with some really good, learn from Steph Horton, not just learn how to be a defender, but how to be a professional footballer." how to conduct yourself, how to be, you know, a role model. So I think those players are making decisions, and the people around them, the parents, the support teams are saying, yeah, City is a good place to be, you know, and we're about to spend 10 million on a state of the art facility. And you're 18, that'll be built when you're in your early 20s. You're going to be able to benefit from that in 2-3 years' time. That must be a massive attraction.
Let's talk about, I know it's hard to talk about it, we've said before, but obviously we play Spurs on Wednesday, or we'll have played Spurs on Wednesday. And it's obviously a must win, should we wish to progress in a cup. And, you know, there's some big games coming up, and a quarterfinal, plenty of cup, you know, we're going to be looking to progress in this cup. In terms of the game itself, Dave, what are you expecting? I mean, it should be a relatively straightforward go there, get the business done and move on to the next.
Well, yeah, I mean, obviously, we only won there last week in the league, and I'm not a great fan of playing the same team twice on the trot, not quite on the trot. I know we've had Leicester in between, but, you know, I'm not a great fan of playing a team twice in a week or so, because obviously they could put some of the things right that they saw the other week. But we were dominant in that game the other week. From beginning to end, it was a lot, I won't say an easier game than expected, but we had, you know, we were a lot more dominant than I expected us to be. I expected a little bit more from Spurs, and I'm sure that Gareth will not let any complacency slip into the side. But obviously, we're recording this before the game, so we don't know the team that's put out. As Paul said before, we're tending to keep the same 11 at the moment. You might well go down that route and think, right, we've got Spurs Wednesday, we've got Arsenal Sunday. I'm going to play my best teams, you know, my best team for both of them. I'm not going to rotate at all at the moment, because he's happy and he knows he's got a very strong bench if he does, as was proven on Sunday. If he wants to change something, he's got the options there to do it. This is no slight to the players that are on the bench. You know, it's more credit to the players that are playing at the moment. I mean, you look at Kirsten Kasprey on Sunday, what a game she had. I thought that was her best 90 minutes in a City shirt. I thought she was outstanding. Thought she was unlucky not to get player of the match. Obviously, Jeff changed the game and gets the headlines, and Lauren's goal gets the headlines, and rightly so. But over the 90 minutes, I thought Kirsten had a fantastic game, and she's come on such a lot this season for me, as the modern fullback. I mean, she's got the full package. So he's got a lot there to think about, Gareth, in terms of managing the minutes of these players, managing the team, but also obviously wanting to win the games. So I'm confident we can go to Spurs, and I'm confident we can win again. But I'm not expecting us to win just because we won there last week. I think we've got to go and be professional and play our best game, because Spurs will be out for revenge on last week. So, but I would say we start favourites, and I'm confident. Now, I might look stupid because we're recording this now and this goes out and we'll have been beaten. We never know. It's football. That's what we all love about football. It's unpredictable. But I do expect us to go there and get the win, yeah. And then that will set us up nicely for another big cup tie at weekend.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, it almost seems cruel, because there are so many players at the minute that are performing, but when it comes down to that player of the match, you know, they're overlooked by the likes of Bunny, Hemp, Chloe Kelly, but there are so many performances at the moment individually that are contributing so much to this team that they're just not going to get a look in. But front to back, I think, you know, there are players, every single one of them, to be fair, just deserves credit. Because I think in terms of delivering expectation that we spoke about last week, you know, there isn't any. But the fact is we're driven by belief, because the performances are there, the momentum is building, and we're in these competitions. And it's, you know, like people speaking about Chelsea, you know, Arsenal, that loss at the weekend, you know, they've dropped off now, but they're talking about Chelsea all the time. And it's like, hold on a minute. And I'm quite happy to quietly go about our business, to be fair. But I wish that they'd just give us a little bit more respect, because I feel like we're in a position where we deserve it. But then I'm, like I said, quite happily, on the other hand, quite happy to just go about it, keep getting the results, and hope that we can, you know, be in this position towards the end of the season where we are in contention and people are like, okay, fair play. Give us a bit of respect.
It's a massive annoyance to me the way the press, particularly the print press, treat City. I think there was a headline on one of the websites saying, you know, Arsenal now, you know, 6 points behind, 9 points behind Chelsea. Where in second place?
I know.
They just ignore the fact that we're in second and have run seven games on the trot, and you know, probably the form team in the league apart from Chelsea. And you know, the in the written press, it's like they just, you know, it's Arsenal, Chelsea all the time, as if City is some sort of piddling little club. We're a piddling little team rather than a big club that won loads of trophies, got a full team of internationals, a big support. And it's like, they just seem to have this blind spot, like City are second in the league. You know, they're clear of Arsenal now. We're almost certain to get into Europe if we continue like this. United away, you know, away in the distance. And they were one of the lead items on one of the national newspaper websites. United, you know, beat whoever it was 2-0. And it's like, well, they're out of contention now, and yet they're still getting the publicity. So, but you're right, Emma. Ultimately, perhaps it's a tribute to the team that we're just going about what we do in an efficient way. And at the end of the season, we're going to be in contention for the title. Hopefully, we'll beat Tottenham, and I think we'll beat them. And then we've got a big match against Arsenal in the cup. And if we beat them, then, you know, that really opens the route to the final, because that takes another big team out. You know, and there's essentially us and Chelsea left as the big two in the draw. So Arsenal is a big game, I think, and quite pivotal in what, you know, how we what trophy we might actually win this season. Although if we beat Spurs, there'd be a chance we could be at Molineux for a County Cup final.
Let's look to the Arsenal game on Sunday then, because potentially, Dave, that now is probably looking like an even bigger test, because Arsenal will be looking to right the wrongs of their defeat against West Ham. And, you know, they'll want to obviously remain within the FA Cup and progress. With obviously that defeat, it makes the title race look that a little bit more difficult. But obviously it's all still to play for them as well, similar to us. So Meadow Park is a very difficult place for City to go. As fans as well, it's difficult for us to go there too, because it's a bloody trek for one. But how are you feeling now looking ahead to Sunday?
I think you're right. It was hard enough anyway. It's a hard draw anyway to play Arsenal away. I think it's got harder because they've lost the weekend. He's bound to get into his team this week and drum home. They want to get back on winning ways. I think they've got a Conti Cup tie first this week as well, like we have, haven't they? So, but this game on Sunday is big for both teams. It's big for both teams, obviously, to go through. It's big for the season, big for confidence. So it's you know, rightfully, it's the pick of the round. It's the game of the round. It's the one that's on TV. You know, you say it is a tough place to go without a shadow of a doubt. I mean, they are good at home. They're good at Meadow Park. We've lost the last two times we've been there when we really shouldn't have done. We really should have got something in both league games, both this year and last year. You know, we've come away just lamenting missed chances and things. I don't want to do that on Sunday. Let's play our game. They'll be worried about us. We're in good form and we're a good team. And if they're going to beat us, they'll have to play well. It's as simple as that. But if we can go there and play our A game and take our chances, there's absolutely no reason why we can't go there and win. Because we are good enough to do it. Without a shadow of a doubt, we've proven that many times over the years. We've taken on Arsenal and Chelsea many times and we beat them. Neither of them might come in here. It's a shame it's not at home. You know, being drawn away as usual makes it harder, obviously. Because at home, I really, really would fancy us against anybody. But yeah, I think it's a tough one. And it's got to be decided on the day. But we'll go for it and we'll go there and give it our A. And like I said, there's absolutely no reason why we can't go there and win. But we need to beat top notch. It's a tough game, without a shadow of a doubt.
Arsenal seem a shadow of the team that they were last season, in terms of, especially in front of goal anyway. They've certainly not been on form as what they have been in, you know, recent seasons. Why do you think that is?
I think that they've had a really odd season, because they've had this really bad run of ACLs. They had four ACLs in 12 months, and those players are still feeling that, you know, key, and they're key players as well. You know, the four that were out were all world-class players, you know, top-quality players. And although I think Miedemeyer is coming back to something like, you know, top form, and she's, you know, dynamite when she's on it, you know, Leah Williamson's still feeling her way back in. And I think they're slightly in a team in a slight state of transition because of these big injuries. but they are a very efficient team as well. They're a bit like us. They play an efficient style of football. So it's going to be a top quality game. But as Dave says, I think this is a good time to be playing them, because I think he's going to be thinking, well, am I going to for Williamson? Or am I going to give her 90 minutes? Is she going to get 45 minutes? Is she capable of playing the full game? If she does, then that's a problem for us, because she's a good defender. I think she's a bit overrated sometimes, but I think she's a good defender. They're a good side, but I think they are not at the peak of their game. And I think we're playing a very settled style of football that will rattle them, because I think we can move the ball around in a way that most other teams don't in the WSL. So I think we've got a really good chance. This is a really good time to be going there, I think. As Dave says, I think in the league, we should have got something in that game. I don't know. You know, it was one of those weird games where we ended up losing. And you think, why did we lose that? You know, it should have been at least a draw and possibly a win. And I think we're playing better now than we were then. I don't think they're playing quite so well. I mean, you wouldn't have thought they would lose to... I mean, apparently they were all over West Ham in the first half at the weekend and should have been 3 or 4 up and then didn't take the chances. But this is one thing I think I agree with Dave. We've got to take our chances. The one thing we've got to avoid is try to walk it in like we do sometimes. When we get a chance, we need to take it, because we're not going to get that many. So we need, you know, people just to be instinctive, a bit like Lauren was at the weekend. We need that sort of instinctive play to open them up. But I think it's going to be a cracking game, good atmosphere. But I fancy us just to shade it, maybe 2-1. And I think it's a big test for Kyle as well, because this is a team that will test us. You know, it's not like Leicester where they're never going to score. Arsenal will have chances. But look at our back four; it's brilliant. Our back four is really solid at the moment. And I think we can go there with great confidence.
Yeah, I have to agree with pretty much everything you said. I do almost feel as though it's going to be a close game. I don't think there's going to be little between the teams if it's going to be decided either way. I just feel that we've got to, like you say, take our chances. And I think it's almost going to be something probably special that maybe wins us the game if it's going to happen. Because Arsenal are a very difficult opposition, and we don't know which Arsenal we're going to get. But playing it on their patch is very, very difficult. And, you know, we've got to learn from past experiences and learn from everything we've, you know, come up against this season so far, and use that and just carry on with the confidence that we've built and building upon at this moment in time.
Yeah, I agree with you. Every word you said there, Emma. We don't know which Arsenal we're going to get. There's two Arsenals, isn't there? There's the Arsenal that lost at West Ham, but they were apparently just before Christmas. They were brilliant and beat Chelsea. So on the day, they can still turn it on. They've also got a nasty side to them, haven't they? They can play it rough sometimes, Arsenal, as well. So you've got to deal with that.
You're talking about people.
I'm not mentioning any names. Well, it's part of the game. You know, City have got to learn to ride through these things, and we are playing so well at the moment. I would fancy us to take them on in a game of football. I fancy us to shade it, you know, at the moment. So, but we, like I said before, we've got to go there and play our A game. But we're under no illusions. The manager knows that. He's going to Arsenal away. He's not, you know, it's not a banana skin. It's a tough away cup draw. So it's you know, it's everyone, all hands on deck, and let's go for it. And this is big. As Paul says, if we go through, the added bonus of going through is that Arsenal are out of the FA Cup as well. So it opens up the draw as well. Yeah. So it's almost like an added bonus. And they'll be looking at that the same way that we'd be out. So, you know, it's a less, you know, one less big team you can get in the later rounds as well. So you want to win the cup, and you're going to have to beat these teams somewhere along the lines. The teams are going to have to beat us somewhere along the line. So, you know, it's an unfortunate draw so early on in the tournament, without a doubt. But, you know, it is what it is, and we'll go there and we'll give it a good go. I'm sure of it. I'm looking forward to it. I think it'll be a great game.
I am, actually, and there's going to be a good crowd as well, Dave. I mean, I think you saw the allocation, buses, everyone jumps on board the buses. So
yeah, it's captured the imagination. The away end's completely sold out, I believe. In fact, the whole game sold out now, I think, I believe. And we know we've had to get bigger coaches to take us all there, which is great. We want the support behind the girls. It's fantastic when you get a full away end. I'm really looking forward to it. I'd liked it to have been at the Emirates, maybe. They play some games at the Emirates, don't they? But, you know, they always seem to play us at Meadow Park. So, you know, there we go. We'll go there and make the usual, the din in the corner that we always make. So, and get behind the team. don't know where we are. That's for sure.
I think we're in a good place. You know, we'll go there full of confidence with players that, you know, will ever either play football, or if we need to mix it up, we've got one or two players in our team that are not scared to mix it up a bit if necessary. But I think it's just so unpredictable at this season, I think. And I do think it's great to see those players coming back from those serious injuries, and we should applaud, you know, their commitment to coming back, Leo and Miedemeyer and all the others. You know, we do really need to sort of say it's a long road back, and some of our players, Chloe Kelly, for instance, has been down that road. But and it's great to see them back. But I think they're still feeling their way back into it. So it's a good time for us to be going down there. And I've noticed this season, in the away games I've been to, we seem much better at game managing away from home now. We don't seem quite as fazed by it. We just seem to get on with what we do. It will be a very, as Dave says, a very rowdy atmosphere down there, and that'd be great. But that's what we want in the game, isn't it? We want these big games, and we want to play the best, because we're starting to see our team becoming one of the best in the country. And given the youth in our team, we should be looking to becoming one of the best in Europe over the coming years. And we can only test ourselves really and truly in the WSL against our two biggest rivals, which are Arsenal and Chelsea. And, Arsenal are just a very, very strong, experienced side, but so are we. And so I think, as you say, Emma, it will take something special from either side potentially to separate us. But both sides have got players in there that can do something special. And, you know, let's hope that Lauren does another scorpion kick into the net and we can carry on and progress to the next round. Because, there's nothing better for us than a trip to Wembley. You know, and this, I suspect that this year's FA Cup will be sold out at Wembley. I think it'll be a sellout. And that's going to be a rocking atmosphere if we can make it that far.
Definitely. Prediction-wise, then, I think, Paul, you went with the 2-1. Dave, what are you saying?
Well, I would have probably gone for 2-1, but to keep it different, I'll stick. I think it'll be tight, so I'll go for a 3-2 thriller to City.
I'm just going to say a 1-0.
But we'll all be happy. Any of them come in, yeah. We're going to be happy. So I think we all agree it's going to be a really tight game, though. So, you know, it's just... there's going to be a couple of moments and it could swing the game either way. And the only criticism I've got of the last trip to Arsenal is, as I said earlier, we didn't take our chances. And then we come away regretting that because we should have got something. So let's not do that on Sunday. Let's not regret anything on Sunday. Let's take our chances and give it everything we've got. And that's all as supporters you can ever ask of your team, that they give it everything they've got. And our team do that. So, yeah, fingers crossed, it's going to be a good one.
I think we'll leave it there for this week then, guys. We'll probably recap on this result, Tottenham and Arsenal, and then look ahead to Chelsea. It's going to be a proper tough month, isn't it?
Oh, it's thick and fast at the moment, aren't they, these games? It's unreal, isn't it? But I don't think we can worry about Chelsea till we've got these two out of the way.
In calendar terms, it's not too far away, but in terms of here and now, we've just got to live for the moment. It's just crazy. Like, I literally can't keep up at the moment. I just don't know where if I'm coming or going or what. But and then today the United game's been changed. And I'm like scribbling on my calendar. Like, I just can't keep up. Honestly,
this is the classic cliche of a pivotal part of the season. These games, you know, you play in County Cup knockout, you're in or out. FA Cup against the top side. In or out, and then you're playing the team that have set the standards over the last few seasons, still top of the league, who we should have beat at home, and we would have beaten them apart from the worst refereeing decision display we've ever seen, and we should have won that game, but they're back in form, we're in form. This is a really pivotal part of the season, but I really think now. We've got a team that can manage that, and we've got the depth to manage that. So, you know, if we come away with, you know, still in the cups and get a result against Chelsea, that'd be great. But as Dave says, we just got to firstly focus on Tottenham, focus on Arsenal, reset for Chelsea. And that's going to be a cracking game, because the one thing that Chelsea City game, you can be guaranteed, it's a football fest. It's two teams that come to play football. There's goals, there's drama. They play, I think, they up their game against us because they know we're probably the best team apart from them in the league. So I think it's really exciting. It's scary and a bit twitchy, a bit squeaky bum time, but isn't that what we're living for? Isn't that what we want in the WSL? We want really competitive games with two top teams, you know, battling it out. And I could be more excited and a bit, you know, a bit of trepidation as well. But, you know, I think we're in a good place.
Do you know, at the end of the game, Ellen announced that we're top of the league. I'm so glad you got that in. Like,
the
response was raucous. It was amazing. You know, even
why not? We knew it was only going to be for a few hours. Really, we didn't really expect Everton to get anything. Chelsea, it would have been a shock. But you've got to celebrate those moments, haven't you?
Yeah, got to take what you can get. It was great.
We said last week we're in the title race. We are in the title race without a shadow of a doubt. You know. Chelsea will be looking over the shoulder at us, especially if we get something off them next week. And they'll be looking at our results every week and we'll be looking at theirs. So, you know, great. That's what football's all about.
Yeah, manifest it. Just keep manifesting it.
Yeah.
Right, guys, I'll catch up with you next week. Have a great week and I'll see you soon.
See you soon, Emma.
And that wraps up this week's episode. We hope you enjoyed it. A huge match day week lies ahead after Wednesday's win against Tottenham, thanks to Yui Hasegawa's stunning goal, which propelled City into the semi-finals of the Conti Cup. All eyes now are on Sunday for our FA Cup tie against Arsenal. Join us next week as we recap on recent games and preview our ever so small head-to-head clash against Chelsea. Have a great week, everyone.